Looking at signs today, signs that we see in the Bible. The reason that we know the pictures that we've seen on the screen is because we have the highway code. They're in a book. You can go and get the book. You can buy it on Amazon. You can get it from all sorts of places. I don't know if libraries might even have them. But either way, they are around all over the place. You can see what these signs are. And the Highway Codebook explains what these signs mean. And so today, on Palm Sunday, we remember the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And in doing this, Jesus gave us a visual picture. This picture would have meant much to the people of that day, because they knew what the prophets had said and what had been written down. Before we explore what Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey meant, let's hear what happened in the Bible reading, which Alison is going to read to us.
Good morning. The Bible reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, reading from verse 1 to 11. And this is on page 988 in the Church Bibles. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Alison. So we saw from the road signs that pictures can have meanings that go beyond what we can see. They can be signs that tell you something. And this is a great tradition among the prophets of Israel, who would use actions as visual messages. When the words didn't work, they would put their message in a picture or an action. And then no one could fail to see. So, for example, when the prophet, there's question marks in the material I'm using. Sometimes they call him Abijah, sometimes they call him Ahijah. So whichever the Bible actually says, that's his name. But he tears his cloak. He tears his cloak into 12 pieces and gives 10 to Jeroboam, saying that God had taken the 10 tribes away from King Rehoboam and was giving them to him. He took hold of his new cloak and gave them, and that was his sign. We can see that in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. A visual picture of what God was going to do to Israel. So when we look at Jesus, when he rode in on a donkey to Jerusalem, he used the same principle. His entry on a colt was a picture that all Jerusalem would have seen deep meaning in. Firstly, Jesus' action was a clear claim to be king. Around 500 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied. And he prophesied that Israel would overcome her enemies. And in the middle of that prophecy came this verse. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Hopefully, you recognize that as what was in the reading. Matthew connecting what Jesus was doing to the prophets and what they said. Jesus' followers had spent 3 years hearing him teach, seeing him perform miracles, and telling them to keep quiet about the fact that he was the Messiah, the chosen one sent to free Israel. And here at last, for all to see, Jesus went public. Is it any wonder that people were celebrating? For the crowds who were not yet his followers and who were living under Roman occupation, longing for freedom, here was Jesus acting out the prophecy that said, I am the king who will bring victory. No wonder they were excited. Secondly, Jesus' picture tells us what sort of king he came as. Jesus came on a colt, the animal of a man of peace. Not on a war horse, the animal of a conquering king. Not a camel, something that rich people would have been able to do. No, he came on an animal of peace. Unfortunately, the crowd was so intent on welcoming a Messiah that they paid little attention to that part of the message. They wanted Jesus to be the one who overthrew the Romans. But Jesus' message, by riding on a colt, was clear to those who wanted to see it. I come in peace. So Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey wasn't simply a convenient first century taxi. Jesus was saying through his actions he was coming as king and he was coming in peace. We'll carry on with that in a bit, but we're now going to sing again. So as I mentioned earlier, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey showed by his actions that he was coming as king and coming in peace. But what sort of king is Jesus? Let's look at some of the words that we think of when we say the word king. Let's look at palace and riches. Most kings have riches. They have lots of money and land, and wear expensive clothes. They live in beautiful palaces and enjoy the best that money can buy. But was Jesus like that? Was he? No. No, he wasn't. When Jesus was born, he wasn't laid in a beautiful crib in an expensive palace. As Luke says, he was wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger. Because there was no guest room available for them. As an adult, Jesus said to his disciples, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus gave up his riches to come to earth. He wouldn't have worn a purple robe, but an ordinary plain set of linens, the clothing of the ordinary people. Okay, so if it's not about palaces and riches, well, let's have a look at power and servants. Most kings have power over others. They tell people what to do and they do it. They have servants. People kneel before them. Was Jesus like that? Yeah. Primed you a little bit now, haven't I? No, he wasn't. Jesus was not like that. When a couple of his disciples started arguing about who was the most important, this is what Jesus said to them. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve, and one of the things he did for his disciples was to wash their dirty and smelly feet before they ate the Passover meal together. It's one of the things we remember on Maundy Thursday. So Jesus wasn't about power and servants either. So let's have a look at crown and throne. Most kings have a throne to wear. Crown to wear. Sorry, dyslexia catching up with me again. They have a crown. Some monarchs have lots of crowns. If you've ever been down to the Tower of London, see a whole host of royal regalia there. They also sit on a throne. Again, our royal family, one of many. And from here, they rule their kingdoms. So was Jesus like that?
No.
Got you now. Excellent. Shame that was the last one. No, Jesus wasn't like that. The only crown that Jesus wore was a crown of thorns, which was placed on his head by soldiers before he was crucified. Jesus didn't rule from a throne, but he was enthroned on a cross. So King Jesus is very different from other earthly kings. Jesus didn't have a palace and riches. He didn't expect people to serve him, but he served them. He didn't wear a crown or rule his kingdom from a throne, but he wore a crown of thorns and gave up his life on the cross. You see, Jesus didn't come as a warrior king to set people free from the oppressive Romans. There's some very interesting bits in some of the films they've got about the Easter story. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one which switches between cartoon and motion capture, where you've got Judas seeing Jesus coming in and he's imagining it's coming in as a warrior, coming in to kick out the Romans. That's what most people were thinking at the time. They were thinking back to their warrior kings of David and his descendants, but no. Jesus didn't come as a warrior king. He came as the King of Peace to set people free from their chains of sin and to bring them peace with God the Father. And he did this by willingly laying down his life on the cross and then was raised to life from the dead 3 days later. Jesus didn't come as an aggressive and dominating king to rule over a country by force. He came as a king of love, to rule over people's hearts. The crowds in Jerusalem completely misunderstood what kind of king Jesus was and what he had come to do for them. And that's why in a few days later, rather than shouting Hosanna, they said, crucify him. 5 days is all it took. From here comes the king to kill him. So do we understand what kind of king Jesus is and what he's done for us? You can see that Jesus didn't come simply for the Jewish people. He came for all of us. He says very clearly in the final words in Matthew to go to everyone across the world. He was here for all of us. And so when he died on the cross, Jesus made it possible for each one of us to be set free from the chains of sin and to know the peace of the Father with us. Not the chains of being underneath an oppressive dictator. The chains of sin are broken. What a wonderful king that is. Now, not only did the crowds praise Jesus when he entered, waving their palms and singing songs of praise to him, but they also laid down their cloaks on the dusty street. Not just dusty, quite dirty as well. But they laid them in front of Jesus' donkey. And this was their way of honouring Jesus as king. So how do we honour Jesus as king today? One of the most important ways to honour Jesus is by listening to what he says and then obeying him. Kings are to be obeyed, after all. They don't obey us, we obey them. So let's watch this video.
Laura.
Hey, Lord.
So how did it go with Kat? Did you talk to her?
Oh, well, Lord, not exactly.
Did you forgive her?
Well, Lord, I mean, I was just thinking, like, why should I forgive her?
Because I asked you to.
Well, yeah, I know you did, Lord, but why?
Well, you shouldn't have to know why, just that I asked you to do it.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. I mean, you don't understand the situation. Kathleen has an attitude problem.
Laura, you believe that I know what is best for you and for Kat?
Well, yeah, Lord.
Then you'll do this.
But, Lord...
This is no different than when I've asked you to do anything else.
Yes, this is, Lord. This is way different.
When I asked you to quit your job, you quit.
Well, of course, Lord, but I didn't like my job, so I was happy to leave, you know? I mean, this is way different. Okay, Lord, you know what? I've got an idea. How about we give it a week and I'll pray about it?
I'll give you my answer now.
But, Lord...
Look, Kat's coming by here very soon.
She's coming okay? by here? Yes. Well, let's go.
Now's your chance to talk to her. I want you to forgive
Lord,
her.
Lord, you don't understand.
Hey! Laura, hi. It's been like 2 weeks since we've had coffee.
Yeah. Oh, it has.
We should totally get together this week.
Oh, wow, I can't do that. I am so busy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about next week?
Well, you know, actually, I don't think it's going to happen for a while.
Oh, well, is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's great.
Uh-huh. All right, I guess I'll just, see you later then.
Bye. Lord, did you hear that attitude?
I thought you were going to forgive her.
I thought you said we could wait a week, Lord.
No, you said that.
Oh, okay, Lord, you're being unreasonable, okay? Why don't you just go talk to Kathleen and have her come to me and ask for my forgiveness?
Laura, you need to obey. I want you to forgive Kat.
But Lord...
Why do you keep calling me Lord? You won't even do what I ask.
Quite powerful. So when we think about that message in the video, can I encourage you this morning not only to praise Jesus, our King, but also to obey him? When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22, verse 39, are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged, Luke 6, 37, Are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven, Luke 6:37 again, are we willing to obey him? When Jesus says, give and it will be given to you, Luke 6:38, are we willing to obey him?